Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Paul Tonko, tell me something about your touring with the Assistant Energy Secretary on the so-called public-private partnerships, clean energy economy, and the investments coming out of that.
Right. Dr. David Danielson, who is the Assistant Secretary for the Department of Energy, specifically assigned the duties of energy efficiency and renewable energy, has come to the area. We were able to have him in town for just about 3 days. We started on a Monday with a reception over at the Global or at the Research Center of GE, and the following day on Tuesday, we're able to do a full day review with the Council of on Competitiveness with Deborah Wynn-Smith, who came into town also as the president and CEO of the council, to talk about competitiveness within our manufacturing sector.
And what does that mean?
Well, there are forces out there that allow us to better address the costs of manufacturing, to bring down the costs by retrofitting our systems with energy efficiency outcomes, with smarter use of our energy supplies, and making certain that there's the best effort made to train the workforce and to get into all the elements of cutting-edge opportunities within the realm of manufacturing.
No, the feds help pay for this?
The feds are looking at various programs that are being suggested to address everything from tax policy over to energy costs.
And the theory is that there'll be more jobs?
Absolutely. The competitive nature on the international scale now requires that we embrace the intellectual capacity of this country and put into play all sorts of nuances, cutting-edge, high-tech opportunities for manufacturing. We lost millions of manufacturing jobs before the recession time leading up to the Obama administration. If that were to continue, we would have been in much deeper trouble. But we're able to turn that around by starting to put a focus on manufacturing. Now the president is calling for an all-out effort to revitalize manufacturing, build it into what's called advanced manufacturing, and to address, again, the energy component of all that, with Secretary Danielson being in charge of energy efficiency and renewable energy opportunities. He's partnered with the Council on Competitiveness to make certain that all the forces that can come to bear to bring these seminars together, to have these tours where you work with the academic base, work with higher ed, which came to the seminar on Tuesday, working with small business, medium size, and large industry, looking at the different efficiency methods that they're putting into work at GE. For instance, sensors on wind turbines, so that now you've taken the price benefit or the cost of wind and brought it down simply by utilizing the wind supply that's there to a far greater maximum opportunity. And so these are the sort of elements that require our academic attention, tax policy attention, and resource advocacy so that we get into the research component, which was also talked about. They're developing these prototypes on public-private partnerships and looking at focus on advanced materials, how best to engage perhaps like our nanoscience in the area. What are the different elements of materials that we can bring into play? How do we use the national labs in this country to take the pricey elements of manufacturing and share those benefits of the labs in a partnership with business? It was fascinating discussion. And then on Wednesday, the third day of his visit, he sat down and worked with us in the 20th Congressional District by allowing me to host him at the table where we had some 30 to 35 members from the area, from the Congressional District, businesses, academic types, all coming together to just share their thoughts with the secretary. He's a very thoughtful guy, very engaging guy, and I found it to be a big benefit for the district.
So let's talk about the politics of the situation, as we say. This sounds like something that if I was a Republican, I'd like. You know, Republicans, not all Republicans, but many are taking money away from the kids for school lunches. But this is business. This is where they live. Are they happy about it?
Well, you know, one of the focus...
You being a Democrat, I should ask.
The focus here is including the effects of sequestration on all of this work.
Sure.
You know, impacting the budget on research, cutting back on research is not what the doctor ordered here. The impact on workforce training programs. So while they may in general like the topic, I think we still have concerns with where they are on
the
budget, with where the Republicans are with the budget. They've kept the sequestration item going, the concept going. We need to address this business agenda and business in general by putting together a bold and balanced budget that allows us to displace the effects of sequestration and to go forward with a stronger commitment, for example, in research. 1% of our federal budget goes toward research. And that's all research, not just in the science and tech area. So in the biological science areas. So we need to do far better than that. Research equals jobs. And if we commit to a research budget, we're automatically creating jobs that then allows for a further chipping away at the deficit. And it allows us to build what is a competitive model for the business community. Back to the Republicans liking or not liking, it is difficult to get them to invest in research, but they also, I think, understand the merit of allowing our business community to be more competitive.
So there are some people, Paul Tonko, who would consider this to be sort of corporate welfare. We pay for it. They get the benefits.
Well, it is government assistance, but you know, this is the myth that many of the extreme thinkers in the Republican majority caucus in the House have. They want us to do pure capitalist model. Let the capitalist model run and no government intervention. That's not true with our competitor nations. And that was raised time and time again over the course of these energy visits. There are public-private partnerships in China, in all through Asia, in Europe. And we're out here tying our hands behind our back.
I only have a minute. I'm sorry, Paul, for cutting you off, but
is there
any chance that we're going to resolve any of the sequestration thing, or is it just hopeless?
I think there's a chance to resolve it. I hope that in the five-week district work period format that much discussion will be going on. I've heard it in the district, and my constituents know that I did not support sequestration with the vote with the Budget Control Act in 2011, and again with the continuing resolution. If I'm hearing it, I am certain all of my colleagues are hearing it from coast to coast, and that may be a pressure point that will bring us back to the table.
I got a minute now. Tell me, are the Democrats in any position to take back the House?
I think that with more and more focus coming to bear on the effects of sequestration and some of the, I think, unpopular stands that this majority has taken, impacts on women, programs with women, immigration reform, where we're dragging our feet, economic recovery, nutrition programs, where you're starving children and not addressing adequately the Meals on Wheels programs for seniors. You know, these are un-American approaches to what have been common issues out there. When you're affecting housing, work, nutrition, I think the public will begin to turn on what has been somewhat of a hidden attack on their quality of life.
I always love it when Paul Tonko comes to these studios and sits across the table, and we have so much fun. It's just great to have you here, Paul, and you're doing very serious work, and we thank you so much for being here.
It's always my pleasure, and it's great to be with you and your listeners.